This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And today in the latest edition of Technology is Scary, we are going to be talking about how a large-scale media organization discovered a hacking software which can hack into numerous smartphone systems, which is alarming enough in and of itself, but it's made worse by the fact that it can happen much more easily than most of us think. Now, I have to say that at times where we have done stories about technology and privacy and spying and the like, I have, and I've said this on air, taken in the past quite a laissez-faire approach to my own online safety. This one, though, I really found deeply alarming.
So it's deeply alarming because of, I think, the scale of the things that this this software can do, right? So analysts are calling it perhaps the most powerful piece of spyware ever developed. And this has come to light because 17 news outlets actually worked together to investigate this spyware that has already hacked into the phones of activists, lawyers, politicians, heads of state, journalists all around the world. So far, as far as they know, more than 1,000 people from over 50 countries have been targeted. And really, it runs the gamut of exactly the things that many of us fear, that your messages can be accessed, that they can secretly turn on your camera, that your calls can be monitored. Any of those things that you hear about, which you often think it cannot get that bad. Well, this kind of shows that with the right technology and the right sort of access, they can.
And how they get that access is particularly frightening because just to say that we're talking about Pegasus spyware, and this was developed by an Israeli company, NSO Group. It has been marketed and licensed specifically to governments worldwide, and it can hack into phones, whether with iOS or Android operating systems. So they found early versions of it in 2016, in which they invaded phones. They gained access through something called spear phishing, which involves text messages or emails that trick users into clicking a link that is malicious. Usually they're pretending to be someone you know, they're pretending to be a colleague, things like that. But now it can actually carry out zero-click attacks. So it doesn't even require you to actually press anything. For example, it can be installed through a WhatsApp call to a target device, even if the call is not picked up. And it can also be installed over a wireless transceiver near a target or even manually on a phone. And essentially, it can do all these things because of something called zero-day vulnerabilities, which are flaws or bugs within an OS that the mobile phone manufacturer themselves are aware of and are unaware of and therefore cannot fix.
So there, it does show that these attacks can actually happen across the board on both Android as well as iOS phones. But in 2019, WhatsApp found that NSO software has been used to send this malware to over 1,400 phones. The most recent victim is actually Apple's iMessage. However, Apple has said that it's continuously updating its software to prevent these attacks. Amnesty International has also found traces of these successful attacks on iPhone that are running up-to-date versions of the iOS, and that's as recently as July this year. So I think what all of this sort of leads back to is that because of how far the extent of the software goes and the kinds of things that it can do, really, it seems on a scale that we haven't heard of before.
So the company has said, and we said earlier that it is licensed to governments, right? And the initial intent, apparently, was that it was meant for use against criminals, against terrorists. And so it was therefore only made available to military, law enforcement and intelligence agencies from countries. And this is an interesting element with good human rights records. I don't know whether that in and of itself is enough, whether a good record in the past is enough to guarantee good behavior in the future. But it is worth, I guess, you know, we keep talking about what it can do and highlighting how easily it can do that, specifically because it feels as if it's power on a scale that I didn't previously think about. And so when you think about that in the hands of governments, for example, whether you feel safe with that, whether you feel that enough is being done in terms of accountability, especially for something that is meant to serve as spyware, I don't know.
And, you know, this idea of countries with good human rights records is such a slippery slope, isn't it? Because if we take a country like the US, for example, they are known to use surveillance as part of their counterterrorism measures. But we've also come to learn how those, when people find out the scale of which that it was happening at, many people were really uncomfortable with it. And, you know, where does the line fall? Who gets to decide what is okay? What are the ethics of this? So, I don't know, the idea of governments having this kind of access, particularly because that line of what is contrary to their interests is not the same for everyone.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, we're yet to hear from you guys, but I'm not sure whether anybody listening to this is thrilled with the idea of how this works. But let us know. I mean, are you worried about your phone being hacked? Again, we are talking about a hacking software that can essentially be inserted into your phone without you actually clicking anything, which is the part that I find frightening. But in general, are you worried about your phone being hacked? Are you doing anything to prevent that? That number to call is 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with CF Fong, CEO and cybersecurity consultant at LGMS. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about hacking software and how it was recently discovered by a large-scale media organization that there is one that's been around for a while, but increasing in some ways severity and in intelligence, right? And is cause for concern. So we wanted to know what you make of this. Are you worried about your phone being hacked? What measures do you take to try and prevent that? That number to call is 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at PFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about this is CF Fong, CEO and cybersecurity consultant at LGMS. Fong, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Lynn, Sharmila. Thanks.
So we covered this briefly earlier, but I think that you would definitely know more than us. Can you tell us what is Pegasus spyware and how does it hack phones?
Well, Pegasus is just another spyware, but what makes it interesting is that it's actually taking advantage of some unknown vulnerabilities, unknown weaknesses of a phone, and without triggering the user to do a manual installation. And it can actually get onto a phone by just you sending a WhatsApp messages, by just exploiting some weaknesses on the phone without the user interaction. And this makes it very scary because you can catch the spyware just like catching a virus without you even knowing it. Now, typically, based on history, right, typically the spyware needs human interactions in order to get itself installed on the phone. What makes Pegasus different is that it is making use of some kind of unknown vulnerabilities, unknown weaknesses. Even the manufacturer have no idea about the weaknesses, and exploiting these weaknesses, it installs itself onto the phone. And this makes it why it is so scary and dangerous.
So to put it simply, what can it access on our phones?
Well, once the spyware is on your phone, right, basically it will just take over your identity. Basically, the spyware can reveal so much about yourself. It can read your contact list. It can send messages on behalf of you, accessing your WhatsApp, you know, even taking pictures, controlling your cameras, recording videos and voices. Basically, just take over your entire identity.
So you mentioned earlier why it's dangerous, right, and how it accesses certain phones' vulnerabilities. Are there specific phones that are particularly vulnerable to Pegasus?
I think both Android and iPhones are both vulnerable. Now, what surprised me the most is iPhone. Even iPhone was vulnerable. Now, we have heard a lot of malware stories or spyware stories happen on Android platform because Android is by design is much more open compared with iOS. Now, when this Pegasus software was found on iOS, I was quite surprised because it was exploiting an unknown vulnerabilities on the iOS and really managed to get itself installed on the iOS platform. And this is this is quite surprising because iOS was known to be rather secure. And now it's just a matter of how fast Apple can identify this weakness, this loophole, and get the patch done and then launch it globally. So in order to fix this loophole.
Would we be able to tell if our phones have been compromised?
That's the interesting part. We will not be able to tell, because by modern days, the spyware today are designed to be more stealth-oriented, because even if when somebody has a direct access to the inner workings of the phone, let's say you're able to see what are the processors running, what are the software programs that are running, the spyware are designed to attach together with some legitimate programs or legitimate processors. So it's not easy to identify whether the phone has been infected with a spyware or anything like that. So it's kind of difficult.
So considering the fact that Pegasus functions on unknown vulnerabilities, is there any real way then for companies to keep up, or are they always going to be trying to patch up these issues and not noticing that there might be new ones through which the spyware can enter?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is the part of life, is because like sometimes when the vulnerabilities get discovered, you see, as a security practitioner like us, our first obligation is to notify the vendor so the vendor are aware about such vulnerability exists. But there are certain government agencies, particularly government agencies, right, when they discover these kind of vulnerabilities, they will actually want to keep it secret so that they can exploit and make full advantage of these weaknesses. So I unfortunately, there's nothing much we can do. The only thing that we can hope for is to hope that our manufacturers of the phone or the operating system really can roll out patches in time. And also something that we can do from as a consumer perspective is to ensure that we do not simply install anything that is not absolutely necessary on our phone. Yeah, so yeah, anything that's not essentials, right, try not to install it.
Now, you mentioned earlier about you did say that there's nothing that we can do, but I'm wondering, are there things that we can, sort of a checklist of sorts that we can keep in mind to protect ourselves?
Yes, absolutely. Like some of the best practices we should always be practicing, like for instance, we do not download any software other than from the official sources. For example, especially for Android users, we do not install any software packages other than directly coming from Google, right? And then also when we are connected to the Wi-Fi, just ensure that we do not connect to a public unsupervised Wi-Fi. We always have to be very careful, because our credential, our username and password can easily be hijacked when we're using Wi-Fi in a public place that, you know, perhaps the Wi-Fi access point could have been set up by hackers. So there are quite a number of best practices that we can follow. But essentially, there's so much the end user can do. But as long as we follow best practices, I mean, the rest is beyond our control.
So the company itself, NSO, has said that the software was meant to be used against criminals and terrorists, but in practice, it doesn't seem to be the case. And looking at the scope of information available and the scope of activities that you can actually carry out on someone's phone, which parties, whether private or governmental, have an interest in this sort of information and access?
I think it's very subjective when they say that it's only meant for government use, right? Because you see, when the US use this, they say that this is use it against the terrorists. What if the North Koreans are using these tools? What do you call that? Use it against the terrorists as well? So it's very subjective. The thing is, there's no black and white kind of a differentiation when it comes to these kind of tools. And these kind of tools is what we're looking at today as a weapon. You know, software can be weaponized to do so many different kind of things that can cause severe impacts. So, and these are the weapons that today we have to treat it with care. Like what NSO is, I mean, whatever they claim, they can claim. But the thing is, even government agencies, right? I think they also should handle these kind of tools with care, because without proper due care, right? And then the same tools can leak out to the private sector, can leak out to any other hackers. And there was history like that before. Like back in 2017, what was stolen from the NSA was actually used to create a massive ransomware. That's where the WannaCry malware came from. It was actually stolen, the zero-day knowledge coming from the NSA.
So let's expand on that a little bit, right? With the kind of information that this particular, that Pegasus is able to access, how can this information be potentially used? Where does it usually end up?
Well, just imagine this. If your phone, if a third party can control your phone by knowing where you are, even, you know, your contact list, who are your conversation, who are you having conversation with, and all of your chat messages, basically, you know, the third party basically get hold of your entire life already. Yeah, it is that severe.
I'm not sure whether you've in some ways already answered this, but as someone who works in security, what are your thoughts on software and methods like these? Do you think that they are a necessary evil, or are they almost inevitable in some ways?
I think it's somewhere inevitable because you see, from a practitioner perspective, like sometimes we do need to have this kind of edge to access to someone's phone, particularly when we are doing investigation on criminal elements, like we need to exploit certain weaknesses on the phone in order to extract information out. That's why it's very questionable when it comes to shall we make it software to do this and sell it to the public? And who are these public? Are they, you know, who are these people? So it's always a gray area. It's very hard to answer this.
We have a question from Yeo Kin Hong on Twitter, who asks, what happens when criminal enterprises compromise the Pegasus malware for criminal purpose? It may be uploaded on their phones as spyware, which gives them a Pandora's box to reverse engineer and code it into their own ransomware.
Yes, this is absolutely possible. And the criminal groups, when they got hold of this malware, they can use it against the government as well.
Okay, on that cheerful note, Fong, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
That was CF Fong, CEO and cybersecurity consultant at LGMS, giving us, I think, really a very clear amount of insight into what Pegasus spyware is and what it can potentially achieve. And we've been asking you to really join us in our fear, essentially, because it's so frightening. Are you worried about your phone being hacked? Are you doing anything to try and prevent that from going on? That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. I think we have time for this message here from Boyi Filza.
So Boyi says, hiya, why susa-susa hack? It's hard and expensive. I already know everything about my friend's private life from Instagram and Facebook. You just need social skills. Honorable mention to Makcik Bawang also.
Fair shout. In terms of wanting to know where people are, what they're eating, who they're with, social media really lets you know all that. I think the next level, though, and what's frightening is the ability for somebody to impersonate you, because that's really what Pegasus allows people to do, right? Just send messages and then delete it as if it never happened, for instance.
So the mention of social media reminded me of this warning that people put up a lot about not taking those forwards or quizzes that ask you things like, where did you first go to school? What was the name of your first pet? Don't put it up on social media. And that actually absolutely makes sense, because those are exactly the security questions that a lot of your accounts ask you. So yes, Boyi, I think that you can actually get a lot more than you anticipate from most people's social media accounts.
So we're talking today about hacking, essentially. And this is coming because of a recent slew of headlines surrounding Pegasus, which is a hacking software that can essentially get into your phone even if you don't actually click on anything. And then it allows whoever's doing it to access all sorts of information, your browsing histories, everything, essentially. We want to know, are you worried about your phone being hacked? And what do you do to try and prevent that, if at all? You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. In the meantime, we're headed to, you know, we play the song every time we do this sort of show, but for a good reason. Here's The Police with Every Breath You Take, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.